There is a land of wondrous love, redemption made it nigh. And those who will may dwell above and never, never die. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. There everlasting joy abides and never-ending praise. Sublimest, highest good betides as Christ His grace displays. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. In yonder clime is perfect peace, for Christ the Lord is King. And worship there will never cease, His praise will ever sing. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. The saints will there be clad in light and with the bridegroom reign. Eternal day excludes the night and sorrow, tears, and pain. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. There glory, glory, glory bells, you peal the bridal song. The bride her anthem rolls and swells, the eternal ages long. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. Sing it again, here we go. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. I'll be there, I'll be there. When that first trumpet sounds, I'll be there. What though the curtains of the night be drawn, and dark the shade wherein God's people dwell, we hear the merry voices of the dawn, melodious sounds, Jehovah's praise to swell. Awake, ye children of the light. Be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Awake, awake, the morn breaks o'er the hills. The star-swift herald of effulgent day. Now haste to banish all the mist that fills the valley of the shadow far away. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Up from the grave, the dead will then arise, and living saints, quick changed and glistening white, will mount God's chariot in their glad surprise, and with the bridegroom spring to realms of light. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Eternal joy will wing the saints away. Eternal glory we with Christ will share. Eternal years will span our wedding day within the city, holy, bright, and fair. Awake, ye children of the light, be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Once again, here we go. Awake, ye children of the light. Be robed, be ready for the flight. He comes in train of spotless white. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Come soon, Lord Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, hour of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, power of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Oh, we worship you, Father. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, from the beginning. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hand. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I Jesus now. we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I go, you know, and you know the way. The way is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's going to come, and I really feel it in my bones. I'm feeling it more and more every day that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for His faithfulness. Glory to God. Christ is coming. Praise the Lord. My daughter called this morning. I shared this with some of you. And she had been looking up about the plague that happened in the world in about 1914, I think it was, along that time. And it was an influenza. And at that time, there was only 1-point-something billion people in the world, that estimate they estimated. And thousands and thousands of people died. So compared to that, this time is not that bad because we have all this modern stuff that they do, you know, now trying to get vaccinations. But these are signs when I think God allows something like this to try to stir us and to wake us up, to make us see that His coming is very, very near, even at the door. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So right now the population in the United States, in the world, pardon me, is 7.8, they estimate, and 7.27 million confirmed cases of coronavirus, and 413,000 deaths so far. Now, that may have been a few days ago that I got this information off of the internet, but this is the time that we're living in. We didn't expect this plague, but we know that it's a sign. It's a sign. When we see things happening in the world, they are signs to us that God is doing something. He's working something, something different. And right now, of course, with the rioting we've been having, just an extra hard thing. We want to feel safe in the Lord, don't we? We want to know that He's watching over us and taking care of us. I met a young man this morning who is a black man. I didn't know that. I was paying him for some work that he did. So he came to the house to get it. He told me he was a Christian. He asked how to get to my house. And when he came, there he was a black man. He said, he was so nice, and he said, "I love the Lord, and I want to help people." And it was beautiful just to meet that young man that loves the Lord and isn't out there riding with the great group, you know, doing his work, trying to get the things done that he can help others. Praise the Lord for God and for His marvelous way. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back in our Bible to Genesis, the 6th chapter. As we're looking back here for our text, just want to encourage your hearts again to be constantly trusting God, trusting Jesus, that is all, the song says. Trusting Jesus, that is all. He is faithful to us. He has not failed us in all the past, and he is not going to fail us and let us sink at last, the poem says. He's not going to let us sink at last. We are victors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis 6 is talking about the world in Noah's day when God destroyed it. And so we're going to begin reading there with verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That word imagination means his purposes and desires. His purposes and desires were only evil continually. And it repented. This word actually in the Hebrew means grieved. It grieved God. It grieved the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Yes. He was grieved at his heart. He opens his heart toward mankind, and often mankind hurts him, hurts his heart, and causes him to grieve. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there are believers in this world today, in the time of this trouble we're going through, that are finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? People who know the grace message and the grace of God, his unmerited favor, and are depending on him. He's with us, and he's guiding us, and he's here with us. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Notice in verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man." That means he was righteous before God. He was justified by faith. It tells us in the book of Hebrews of his believing God with all of his heart. And he was a perfect man. Praise the Lord. That means to be blameless or mature in Christ. And in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Isn't that beautiful? Here we are in a similar situation. As Jesus said there in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man." Praise the Lord. It is as wicked and as evil, or even more so than the days of Noah. And we see it every day on our TVs. We hear of it all the time, the wickedness of man. God isn't going to just always put up with this. He's going to come in and deliver his saints from this evil. Praise the Lord. That's what we are looking for, the coming of Jesus Christ. I hope that your heart is just burning within you, wanting him to come so great, just wanting him to come. Oh, praise the Lord. Truly, he's going to come one of these very soon days. Glory to God. Notice that it repented God that he had made man. One meaning of that is he was sorry. He was sorry that he had made man. Can you imagine God having that kind of feeling? That he was sorry that he made man. He allowed this great flood to come and destroy. And you know, when he looks down on the earth today, I'm sure that he knows his divine plan, of course, and he's going to work through a mighty, mighty time in the tribulation. And he's looking down at all the evil and all the injustice and all of the stuff that these people are doing in this world. Totally against God, not following the precepts of the Word of God. But we're so thankful, aren't we? Be thankful today because you are a child of God and you have the opportunity to trust him and believe in him and follow him right now. Glory to God. Let's turn to Matthew 24. We're going to read a few scriptures here. 24 is the chapter where Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, they ask him kind of a several-pronged question. In verse 3, it says, he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the judgment, the consummation of the age is one translation of that. Is that what we're saying? Lord, when are you going to come? We long for you. We want you. Would you come, Lord? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Our prayers are that way. But we're waiting, and hopefully we're waiting patiently. We're going to look at verse 37. As I quoted a while ago, let's read verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but of my Father only. We know that you and I have seen and heard of in our lifetime several different people that set a date and said, Jesus Christ is coming at a certain date. And that time just came and went, and he didn't come. No man knoweth the date that Jesus Christ will come. And so that's why it behooves us to be ready, watchful, waiting, because in the time that you think not, that's when the Son of Man's going to come. In verse 37, it says, and the days of Noah, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So, the admonition of the Lord. Of course, we know this is applying more to the time of tribulation and the coming of Christ in his power and glory at the end of it. But it applies to us also because we're living in the days just like Noah. Noah's day when very few, comparatively speaking, are really longing and watching for the coming of Jesus Christ. There's just so much going on in this world right now, all over. Can you imagine people in other countries doing what they're doing just because we're having a problem in our United States? It just was like dominoes falling over. All of a sudden, all these other countries are just going wild, doing all kinds of weird stuff. And there's so much evil in this world today, isn't there? Praise the Lord. But we are mighty in God, and we are watching. We're not as those who are asleep as do others. As Paul said, sleep not as do others, but be watchful because the Lord is going to come. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. These are just the beginning of sorrows. It says, let's look back at verse 7. It tells us, for nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And if you can get into the news, they don't tell us all this in the local news or even in our national news. It's all about politics, it seems like. Everything is just, you know, crazy or the rioting or whatever. But there are many, many, many problems in this world. That those insects that are over there destroying the crops so badly in other countries and are just ravenous. They're just eating up the vegetation. It's 7 years of tribulation is right at the doorstep, but things are happening already. There's been terrible volcanic eruptions of places that haven't erupted for thousands of years. There's many, many other signs of the coming of the Lord that people are not telling us about in the news. And so you can go online and check those things out. We're not yet in the 7 years of tribulation, even though we might think that we are sometimes. We're not yet there. Someone was asking me before we started about the temple. Did Israel have to have their temple built before the 7 years of tribulation, or would it be built right after? We really don't know. Right now, everything is prepared to build the temple. The blueprints are all drawn up. The supplies, all of the furniture is made, the clothing for the priest, everything is ready and waiting. And when that temple does get built, that's a really great sign, because we know that the Antichrist will allow that at first, and then he will go and put his image in that temple and defile it. And only 1/3 of the nation of Israel will believe in Christ at the end of the tribulation and actually see Christ coming in glory. And so notice in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, we'd like to think that all this stuff is just for the tribulation. The day the tribulation starts, it's going to be famines, there's going to be all kinds of diseases take place, it's going to be earthquakes. But these things are happening now, and they are signs to us of the beginning of sorrows, that it's very, very near, close at hand, very, very soon. We're not yet in this 7 years of tribulation, but it's coming soon. We're on the doorstep of it. In Daniel 9:27, it tells us about a man, let's just turn back there quickly, a man who will come, he's called the Antichrist, and he will make this covenant with Israel, and that's no doubt when he'll tell them, I'll help you build your temple, you'll get to build it again, and you'll have everything good, and we'll make sure that people respect you, and we will protect you. Right now, the United Nations is against Israel, and they've recently brought, and I have a statistic here that I'll tell you about in a moment, but they have recently brought all kinds of charges against Israel. And so, you know, it's happening before our eyes that things are being set up for this time when Antichrist will be on the scene. We don't know who he is. He's no doubt alive right now, but he's going to make this agreement with Israel, and it's going to be for 7 years, this verse 27 of chapter 9. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, and that'll be with the Jews or Israel, for 1 week, and that a week in the scripture and prophecy speaks of 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now that he's going to allow them to build their temple, he's going to allow them to start their sacrifices. And then at the middle of the week, he will really show his colors. He will show really that he's empowered by Satan, and he will stop their sacrifices, and he will put his image in the holy place of that temple that they will have. He will cause the oblation of the sacrifices to cease, and for the overspreading and abomination, he shall make it desolate. He shall make the temple that he allows to be built desolate as far as the Jews are concerned. They won't go there. They won't go there and worship with that idol put in that place. Even until this consummation, that means even until the end, it will be desolate. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, what is determined? That's the will of God. God's plan. God's plan. We've been foretold about these things that are going to happen. We're so near that time that the Lord is going to come for us, come for his people, different groups of us, the church, in different phases, till we're all there in heaven with him. Now, Luke 21:28 says this. You could turn if you want to. It says, and when these things begin, I want us to notice the word begin. He doesn't say, wait till you see all the signs, Wait till you see everything happening, and then accept the fact that we are in the end time and that Christ Jesus is coming soon. He says very plainly, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The redemption, the being taken into the presence of the Lord out of this life. Our redemption is body, soul, and spirit. One of these days we're going to be literally taken from this place in the translation. These things, he says, when these things, what are these things? They are signs for us to watch and wait. You know, we could get all down in the dumps. Well, what am I going to do? I might go to the store and they'll attack me or they'll shove me or whatever, and I just better stay in. I better not do anything that would harm me because, you know, there's evil out there lurking out there. Well, it's always been evil lurking out there. But it's worse now. These are perilous times. Let's look over at 2 Timothy 3. We've read this a lot, but I think one reason we're reading some of the passages more often is because we literally are right here in this time. When I was a young person and I heard some of this teaching, I didn't know. I thought Jesus was going to come anytime. When I went up to Bible school, I thought he was going to come at any time. It's been a long time ago. But he still is coming soon. And it's even more so with all the signs that are happening. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word means dangerous or loss of strength. Dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You ever see anything like that happening? Without natural affection. Truce breakers, in other words, liars. Say they'll do something and then don't do it. False accusers, incontinent. I think we read this last week. Rebellious and going against society. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what does he say? From such, turn away. We can't fellowship with that. All of those things. We can't enter into it as the world does. Look at the mobs that have collected just for these reasons lately. And of course, it's not just because that man got hurt by the police and died. It isn't just because of that. It's because there's evil in the heart of man. And there are people in this United States that are trying to bring about anarchy. They're the leaders of all these groups. And it just seems like, you know, like they say, as a sheep to the slaughter, it just seems like the eyes of so many of our young people and other people are just blind to see what's going on, really. Yeah. They can't see that it's just really evil that is trying to prevail. So Satan is working against the people of the world in great, great destruction. But we are seeing the beginning. And I just am going to talk to you a while about things that are starting to happen right now. You know that in before too long, when the tribulation starts, of course, we're trusting that we're going to be taken away into the presence of the Lord. But in that first part of the 7 years, he will make a treaty with Israel, as we said and read a while ago. And in Daniel 7:24, it says there's going to be a confederacy of 10 nations which will unite. And then the Antichrist is also called in other places the beast, because he's going to be very, very hard against Christians. He's going to say, if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you are going to be killed. You will be beheaded for Christ. You read about him in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 8, about his reign and about how horrible it will be, and also in the book of Revelation chapter 13. But there are some things that are happening right now. The first one is famine, and we talked about this a while ago. Great swarms of locusts devouring crops in eastern Africa. 13 million people are suffering with severe food shortage. Isn't that something? They're starving. We don't hear about it much in the news. We've heard about it, but who's talking about it now? Nobody's talking about it now. They're talking about all the other stuff that's going on that catches their attention. So there is much, and this they're saying that this is going to go to other parts of the world. Now imagine this statistic. 300 million pounds of crops are devoured in one day by these insects. 300 million pounds of crops in one day. One-fifth of the Earth's land area is affected right now. One-tenth of the globe's population is affected by these terrible things. Over 60 countries are susceptible to these swarms. They haven't yet come on up into some of the other countries, but they will. And in Revelation 6:6, it says that there's going to be a great famine on the earth, and that the prices of food will be so outrageous that a quart, you have to read what the words there signify, and it means that a quart of wheat, a day's, will be like a day's pay. A whole day's pay will buy one quart of wheat to try to feed your family, or three quarts of barley. This is coming. This is coming. And it will be probably worse in the tribulation, but it's some of it is happening now. And inflation is another thing that will happen because, as I said, whatever we have is going to cost much more than what we have ever paid for anything. We're kind of spoiled, you know. We know we can go real quick and just buy something like that right quick. But there are a lot of people in the U.S. that are really suffering financially right now and are needing help. The economy in the U.S. right now is a disaster, and God will work it out. We believe that it will be worked out. But a lot of people without work, aren't there? And the government is giving money out. I wonder how long they could do that. It's amazing to me that they just send checks out through the mail and just got to pay them because they're having a hard time. That's not been something that has been done hardly ever, maybe in the past. And the cost of everything is going to go up. And the unemployment right now is 2.5 million in the U.S. Isn't that something? And then we find in the book of Revelation 9, chapter 9:20, let's look there, that there's going to be great violence in the earth. And we're seeing that right now. That doesn't mean we're in the tribulation, but I think it means that we are very near. When people will just kind of look the other way and say, well, they can take over part of this city if they want to, and we'll let them live there, and we won't do anything about it, and just let them paint on everything and just do whatever they want. That's what it seems to be, doesn't it? Okay, so here in this part, verse 20 of chapter 9, this is during the tribulation. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So this is during the tribulation, but there are a lot of people right now that are actually sealing their doom. You know, God keeps giving us opportunities and opportunities and opportunities to believe in Christ. But there are people today who have heard the word of God over and over and over who haven't received Christ. So we need to pray for those people, that people will come to know the Lord, that they will realize what time we're living in. We need to have our eyes open. We are living in the last days. Violence will increase. A third part of the people will be killed in this terrible place because they repented not. Now, another thing that we are noticing is there is an increase of anti-Semitism. That means against the Jewish people. In the United States, it's gotten worse. There's been some great persecution for several years here, just increasing along. And in foreign countries, there's been record attacks against the Jews. In a lot of countries, they have their synagogues and different places, and the people around them are attacking them. And I was kind of shocked at this. I know they live here in the United States, you know. They've been here for centuries. But in New York City alone, there's 1.8 million Jewish people. 1.8 million people in New York City that live there. And there have been record attacks in 2019 against the Jews. And in France and Germany, they're really becoming very unsafe places for Jews. There's much, much persecution. And even the UN is anti-Israel. The first couple of months in 2019, and also in the 2020 sessions, the UN adopted 18 anti-Israel resolutions compared with just 7 concerning all the other nations. Everything that's been going on in all the other nations, they only brought 7 of these things against them, these resolutions against them. But on Israel, they brought 18 different resolutions. And you know that they decreed, you know, that the Temple Mount is not to be called the Temple Mount. They have signs that have been put up naming it after the Arabs, after their religion. Everything there around that Temple Mount, the Jews are being persecuted. And the Jews have been warned of this treatment, haven't they? They've been mistreated badly in World War II. But they're still being mistreated and in a greater way than ever, which is a great sign. Because during the tribulation, that Antichrist, as I've said already here today, will make that covenant with them and agree to help them, but that he's going to turn on them. So we see that. Jesus warned them. It says, "Then shall they deliver you up to kill you." He warned them to flee to the mountains for protection. There in the 24th chapter, read it. He says, "If don't come down from the house." You know, in Israel, their houses are so close together, they could run from roof to roof on those flat roofs. And so that's what he was telling them. Another thing that we're seeing is there's a new world order. And you can look this up. It's been devised and written up what they want to do. And they want to take over and rule everything and tell us all what to do. And all the nations will be joined into that. And that's so prophetic, because that's what's going to happen. And what did Jesus say in Luke 21:28? "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." Now, back to that subject of one world. When the Antichrist comes on the scene at the very beginning of the tribulation is when he's going to be accepted as a world leader that has all the answers for all the problems. And this is how it's going to be. And they are going to just look at him like he's God. And they are going to receive everything he says. Another thing that's been happening and that we all are aware of is a surrendering of our rights. We know how we have a right to worship the Lord. We have a right to meet together. But because of this pandemic, it was just like all of us just kind of did this, you know. Okay, government, you tell us to do a certain thing. We don't want them coming in here and shutting us down. But it's going to be much worse in the tribulation. The people of God that are left, they're going to find that their places of worship are shut down permanently. And no doubt other people will come in here and take charge of all this. They'll do whatever they want to in these buildings, won't they? I think of that sometimes when I look at our beautiful dining hall and our beautiful cabinets. I think, I wonder who will have this place in the tribulation. God's blessed us. We have a beautiful place to meet. We have so much in the Lord. But when that time comes, the tribulation, there'll be great fear and panic and a surrendering of the rights, just as easy as we all surrendered this. The Antichrist will say, it's got to be this way because we've got to protect everybody. Those people that are trying to bring about this in the world today are called globalists. It's one world government without Jesus. And that's happening right now. Look it up. You'll find it on the internet. The one world government that they're trying to bring about to control everything. Antichrist is going to come, isn't he? But praise God, we have the privilege of being gone from here. Hallelujah. And one more thing I'm going to bring out. I've got two or three more pages up. Do you guys want to stay here and listen? Okay. One more thing is in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war that will be fought, it was prophetic. Ezekiel was a prophet. He prophesied that this war would happen between the nations from north of Israel, that it would come to pass. Right now, those nations, Gog and Magog, that's Russia and the people of Russia, the leader of Russia, the people of Russia. We've also got Iraq in there. Pardon me, Iran in there, and other nations that it mentions right there, all collected together to come against Israel. And Iran is boasting of creating these missiles and all of this, these bombs and things that they're going to blast Israel off the map. So we can see how God is working and fulfilling the prophecy. The prophecy is going to come to pass. That's just one prophecy. Read it, Ezekiel 38 and 39. It could begin at any moment. It doesn't say after Jesus comes or whatever. That prophecy could be being fulfilled at any moment. If we see that, we better get our motor running. We better get our wings batting because we're going to go. We're going to go if we're watching for the Lord to come. You know, this has been hard on all of us, all of this by ourselves and not being able to really hug on one another and all the things that we enjoy so much. It's been so hard. God has allowed this for some reason. But maybe it is to test our faith, to see if we really will keep on standing regardless of whatever happens. Oh my, the saints, the people of God in the tribulation are going to be under so much stress, so much problems, much more than what we've ever experienced. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you to be ready for the coming of Jesus. He says that he will come, and for those that look for him, he will appear. For those who look for him, the scripture says he will appear. Praise the Lord. Oh, his coming is near. Glory to God. We have that wonderful scripture there in Revelation 3:10 where he says, let's just read that in closing. Revelation 3:10. This is the overcoming people. The people that are right now alive in this world And some have died and gone to be with the Lord, who have been faithful to God and yielded to God and watching for the coming of Jesus. This is what this is, who this is speaking about. They are the Church of Philadelphia, which was an Asian church up in Greece, and really was a, at that time. But they were people who were real overcomers and had not let anything defeat them. We're just going to read verse 10 and 11. He said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That means the word of patience means endurance. My command to persevere, I think it says in the Amplified Version. Because you have kept my command to persevere. He says, if you have kept it, then I will keep you from the hour of tribulation. If you have kept the word of his patience, sometimes it's so hard to be patient, isn't it? It seems like time just keeps going on and on and on, and more bad stuff happening every day. We think, Lord, isn't it your time to come? We're longing for you to come. But he says, be patient. It's one of the characteristics he loves the very most, I think, because he puts us through lots of trials to make us patient. And then he says, I will keep you from the hour of tribulation. The word, it says there, temptation in your Bible, King James, but the word translated also into tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. This is the promise that God will keep us from the tribulation if we really yield our lives to him and trust him for our needs. Verse number 3 to that is, this tribulation is going to come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. God's going to allow it as a great trial for all who are dwelling on the earth. He says, behold, I come quickly. And he says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold fast. It means to hold tight. In other words, grasp it and don't let it go. We don't do that by our physical strength. We do it by our spiritual strength in the Lord. We let him work in us so that we're holding fast to the word of truth. Praise the Lord. Let no man take thy crown. Someone else isn't going to take our crown. And I've said, and others have said, the old man is who will take our crown. That old nature that we have within us that doesn't really desire the things of God, doesn't desire the things of God, that always works against us to try to keep us from being victorious in Christ. And so that's why Paul tells us to judge that old nature and bring it under subjection to Christ so that we don't let anything in the natural hinder us from really laying hold of all the things of God. And standing firmly, hold fast the things. Don't let anything take our crown. The crown has been promised to us. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. And of course, the early church, that was written in the early church time, they suffered death for Christ. Paul was no doubt beheaded. He was his head chopped off because he kept the faith and would not depart from that word of God that he knew. So whatever God has, he will bring us through, won't he? So we need to be very vigilant right now and watch. You know, it's horrible to see what we're seeing. It's awful. Scary. But do we need to be afraid, really? No, because we have the Lord on our side. It's all being fulfilled, as the scripture says. The prophecies are coming to pass. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a song, and we'll worship the Lord together.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now. blatant leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will see the glorious banner waving. Hear the trumpet blow. Triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will fear. And long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, take us still. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still.